What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
On a Thursday that kind of feels like a Friday, we welcome you into a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for the next 2 hours. We'll take you till 8 o'clock tonight. We've got a lot to get into. Of course, we'll continue the Cardinals conversation that we started during the Redbird Rush Hour. In addition to that, we've got a few guests that are going to be on the program tonight joining us in about 10 minutes. It's going to be our good friend Scott Warman. Of course, he's part of the team here at KMOX, but you also see him on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest doing pre and post for Cardinals and Blues. We'll talk with our friend Max Brados, who covers MLS soccer for Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. We'll get his thoughts on where City SC is at, and then Benji Molina is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour at about 7:20. We'll talk with him about the Cardinals. We'll also get some Blues hockey in here. Doug Armstrong spoke with the media earlier today, and we're going to play back some of his comments, and I'll give you my thoughts on some of what he had to say. So that's what's coming up on the show today. As always, if you want to get involved in the show, there are multiple ways for you to do just that. You can always give us a call or text in at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on YouTube, all you got to do is leave a comment. Those comments come right in, and we can address those as we do go along with the program tonight. Big series coming up for the Cardinals as they open up a three-gamer against the Cubs tomorrow. Cardinals will be a little bit more rested than the Cubs, who are in action tonight. They are at home, so they don't have to travel. But this evening, in about an hour or so, they are going to take on the Cleveland Guardians, and we'll see how that goes. Cubs have not yet officially announced their starters for the series that I've seen, but unofficially, it's going to be Colin Ray, Jameson Taillon, and Matthew Boyd, who the Cardinals are going to see. Miles Michaelis, Matthew Liberatore, and Eric Fetty are going to be the pitchers who go for the Cardinals. And I know a lot of people are concerned, and rightfully so, about some of those pitching matchups, specifically because of Michaelis and Fetty being in there. I'll say this, and Look, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not overly optimistic about what we're seeing from Michaelis and Fetty right now. Numbers haven't been good. Underlying numbers haven't been good. You know, somebody like Eric Fetty, honestly, the underlying numbers have been not great most of the season, and he's been very lucky, and he's been able to figure out ways to get out of situations. And now here recently, the underlying numbers and the baseball card numbers have kind of jived together a little bit more. But I'll say this. This group of pitchers, like we saw this with Andre Pallante, right? When things were not going well for Pallante, it felt like he was one bad start away from something happening. Whether it's, you know, moving him to the bullpen, missing, you know, skipping him in a start, him ending up on the injured list. I don't think he was going to end up at AAA Memphis because we heard Oliver Marmol say that there wasn't really anything to be accomplished by sending Pallante to Memphis. But it felt like he was one more bad start away from a decision being made that could change his role. And then he's been on a roll since then. And that seems to be one of the kind of the characteristics of this team, especially with these pitchers, that when things are not going especially well and we're finally at that point where it feels like, okay, they've got you have to see a step forward for there to be a path forward, if that makes sense, that guys have done that. So when you look at what Miles Michaelis has done, in the month of June, he pitched to a 6.58 ERA. Now, where did those bad numbers come from? Really, it was two separate starts. He had a start against Toronto on June 10th, where he gave up 6 runs in 5 innings, and then his most recent start against Cleveland, where he gave up 6 runs in 4 innings. So those are two of his 5 starts in the month of June. His other 3 starts, he gave up 3 runs in 6 innings against Kansas City. You'll take that. 2 runs in 6 innings against Milwaukee. You'll take that. And 3 runs in 5 innings against Cincinnati. You'll take that. That's not great, but that's not giving up 3 runs in 5 innings is not a, okay, this guy needs to come out of the rotation. So even though he had a 6.58 ERA in the month of June, I don't think we're at a place right now with Michaelis where if he really struggles in his start that we're going to be talking on the postgame show about him being pulled from the rotation. I guess it could depend on how extreme it looks, but to me, we're still a little ways from having that conversation. But let's go look at Fetty, because I think Eric Fetty's in a little bit of a different spot, and Fetty is scheduled to pitch the final game of the series. And when you look at what he has done recently, he actually believe, you know, it's funny that we say this because Fetty's ERA in the month of June is actually a little bit better than Michaelis's. But what's happened here with Fetty is the back-to-back not-so-great starts where he has given up 7 runs in each of his last 2 starts. Gave up 7 against the Cubs on June 25th, gave up 7 against Pittsburgh on June 30th, just a few days ago on Monday. So he's got this back-to-back, and I've talked about it before, a guy has one bad start, you kind of notice. A guy has a second bad start, you go, okay, is this turning into a trend? And then when they have the third straight bad start, I think that's where you start have to make some decisions on whether or not there needs to be a change. The 4 starts in the month of June for Fetty prior to that Cubs start where he gave up 7 runs, he gave up 2, 0, 3, and 2 runs respectively, going at least 5 innings in each of those starts. There was no reason to be worried just based off the raw statistics. Now, like I said, if you got under the hood a little bit on some of those, he probably was not pitching as well as the final numbers would say because there were some issues from an underlying standpoint, but nobody's going to get overly upset about that. So big start coming up for Fetty, and I think Michaelis, if he struggles in his start tomorrow, then you're probably in the exact same spot that you're at right now with Fetty. We'll talk more about that coming up later on in the program. Right now, we will take a break, and when we return, we're set to be joined by our friend Scott Warman. We'll talk mostly Cardinals with him. We might get into a little bit of Blues hockey with him as well. That's up next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Welcome back into the program. My name is Matt Pauly. It feels like a Friday night, even though it's a Thursday, because it's a holiday eve. 4th of July tomorrow, we'll have Cardinals baseball throughout the course of the afternoon. Happy to welcome onto the program right now. You hear him here on KMOX. You see him on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Before you know it, you're going to be seeing him. You know, Valley football's right around the corner as well. It's our good friend Scott Warman. Scott, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you get your fireworks ready for the family?
No fireworks. We got a few sparklers. We've got dogs that really do not like fireworks, so we kind of keep them away
from
that. Yeah,
me too. I'm the same way.
It's the most pathetic thing when the dogs don't like the fireworks. So, yeah.
Well, you don't want them to run off, because that's even a bigger nightmare. So.
At my previous residence, there was a day that it was a 4th of July, and our neighbors were shooting off fireworks in our driveway. You could see the marks, and I got home, and you could hear the dogs just screeching in pain as the fireworks were being shot outside the window. It was terrible.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
I don't like that.
I know. Yeah, I didn't. I also did not like it. All right, let's talk about something maybe marginally better. Cardinals, they're in. They had a tough series against Pittsburgh. What do you make of it? Because we know that they're better than a team to go get swept and not score a single run over 3 days against Pittsburgh. But we have to acknowledge what just happened at the same time and see what can be done to fix that issue.
Well, it's funny, because I talked to our buddy John Rooney today. He gave me a call this afternoon. I said, Rooney, you got any runs in your back pocket? He goes, oh, my God, do we need them in the worst way? Yeah, I mean, look, the Pittsburgh has played their best baseball this season, and they're pitching really, even despite their lack of offense through the better part of the season, they really do have good pitching. But I'm not going to make that as an excuse. But what I do know, talking to, you know, people that are with the team on an everyday basis, is you just finished up 15 games in 14 days, and they've been playing a lot of baseball. You've had rain delays. You played in really some super hot temperatures when the Cubs were in town. And so I think that all kind of played a part. I think the other part that played into this whole thing is the fact that you have two of your veteran leaders that were not in the lineup, especially yesterday, but no Nolan Arenado on Tuesday and Wednesday. And sure, Arenado's not batting 300 and he doesn't have 30 home runs already, but I do believe that veteran leadership with Contreras and Arenado both being simultaneously out at the same time, I also believe that that has a little bit of effect when you think about it from a lineup standpoint. Now, granted, I know it's just one game out of the three that you played where you didn't score, where you didn't have both of those guys in the lineup, but I do think that also plays a role. And again, it's like anything else we always talk about when we're talking about the game of baseball. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're going to have your highs and you're going to have your lows. And unfortunately, the Cardinals are struggling right now from an offensive standpoint. You thought after the Cleveland series that things were turning around, but hopefully they can turn things around, because now you got these guys that you're playing this weekend that you're chasing for the top spot in the Central Division. And so I'm not completely, totally concerned with it. Sure, you don't like to get shut out as much as you have over the last week plus, but in the grand scheme of things, I think we all know, if you kind of sit back and take a deep breath, this team's obviously going to score a lot of runs. They have that ability to do so.
It's a weird thing, because the overall offensive numbers are fine, Scott, but there's been an all or nothing kind of nature to this team, and it's not even they don't ease into the all or nothing. They go from sweeping Cleveland and looking great to not scoring a run in Pittsburgh. There's very much a flicking of a light switch aspect to this team, where they can go from very quickly to looking like they can't lose a game to all of a sudden looking like they can't score a run.
Right, exactly. I mean, think about early June when they went on, what was that, the six-game losing streak. It looked like, uh-oh, here we go. This is what many people maybe were expecting at the beginning of the season. Then, boom. like you said, you just flip on the switch and all of a sudden they get this big long winning streak as well. So yeah, there's not that consistency, if you will. But you know, the couple of things that Ricky was with us on our pre and post game on the TV side this week, and there's a couple of things he and I discussed. First of all, as we look back, Cardinals wound up being 14-14 in the month of June. You know, had a bunch of games that they played, you know, straight through, had some tough competition, go through the whole gamut, and he came out 500, which I think was a great thing. But I love how this team is playing fundamentally, as he and I discussed, defensively or running the bases. It's the best I think we've seen it from this ball club in 3 or 4 years. I think that's the positive. The other positive thing is the fact that is you look back at June, again, you're only 14-14, but Matt, this team is never out of a game for most part. And I think that's what also has made this thing more compelling and more exciting for this ball club and for the fans. You know, I don't think a lot of people thought the Cardinals would be in a race as we're already past the midway point of this regular season. I think that's one thing that I think Cardinals fans have been a little surprised, pleasantly surprised about. But the other part of it to me, I think, is the way and the style that this team has played. And I think a lot of this credit goes to Ali Marmol and staff, to be quite honest with you, buddy.
Yeah, look, if we were starting the season and said going into the 4th of July, the Cardinals are going to be 6 games over .500 and tied for the final playoff spot in the National League, when you think about the expectations externally for this team coming in, who is saying no to that?
Right, exactly. That's my whole point. And not just if you're talking about Cardinal Nation, fandom, whatever, you're talking about a lot of the quote-unquote insiders, quote-unquote experts that really had flown, you know, said, oh, well, this is just going to be kind of a transition year, which the Cardinals even said. And I think privately, and you might even know this, Matt, being with the team all the time, is the fact that there might even be some people privately are a little bit surprised at where they've been at that are with this team on a day-to-day basis. But ultimately, I think it comes down to, A, the coach, meaning, i.e., the manager and the coaching staff, but it also is up on the players as well. And let's face it, what was it a couple of weeks ago when the Cardinals beat Cincinnati on that Saturday afternoon? They came back and won in extra innings, and Nolan Arenado told everybody in the clubhouse after the game that this is the most fun he's had going to the ballpark in 2 years. And again, I think part of that credit goes to Ali and bringing that really positive attitude that we've seen out of this ball club, really from probably when you saw him down in spring training.
We're talking with Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Of course, you also hear him here on KMOX on occasion. This series, because we are getting closer and closer to the trade deadline. We're just a few weeks out. How key, you don't want to make anything too big, Scott, I get that, but how big is this series when you know that we're pretty close to the decision makers starting to make some of those decisions on how they want to approach that deadline at the end of July?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and I think from this organization's standpoint, you want to beat the team, obviously. First of all, they're the Cubs, right? But second of all, from your situation, from a divisional standpoint, you could really make it. Even if you win 2 of 3 this weekend against the Cubs, now you're still hanging around. Now, the Cubs apparently have gone out and basically said, we're going to make some moves at the trade deadline. It's almost like they're going for broke right now in this 2025 campaign. Now, for the Cardinals, where are they going to go? And, you know, the other part is the health.
Do we have Scott? I think we may have lost Scott. Scott going once. Oh, wait. I think we lost Scott. We're going to get to a break anyways here in a moment. So let's see. I'll give Kyle just a moment or so, see if we can get Scott back on the air. And if not, we'll go ahead and take a break. And we will get to a Max Brados coming up in just a moment or so. I think we have Scott back. Do we have Scott? Nope, we do not have Scott. So, you know what? Here's what we'll do. We'll go ahead. We appreciate Scott Warman for joining us. We lost our connection with him, giving us some really great information. Of course, you can hear him on see him on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest and also here on KMOX, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. Unfortunately, we lost our connection with him just a couple minutes early. But we do have another guest coming up in just a moment. So we'll take an early break here. And when we come back, or a little bit shortly after we come back, Max Brados is going to join us, and we'll talk some City SC with him, as he'll be on the call coming up this weekend as City gets back to action. They're still kind of trying to find themselves, it feels like, still just a few weeks into the new coaching regime. We'll talk through all that coming up in just a moment or so. So we're back with more in a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've been talking mostly baseball today. We'll jump back into that. Also, we'll talk some St. Louis Blues hockey in just a while, as their president of hockey operations and general manager Doug Armstrong met with the media earlier today. But right now, let's talk a little soccer. As City SC, they get back at it this weekend. They are going to be on the road coming up on Saturday as they match up against Real Salt Lake. Max Brados is going to be on the call on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, and he once again joins us here on a Sports Open Line. Max, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Doing okay. I mean, St. Louisans can't live on baseball alone. You need a little kickball in your lives.
Every once in a while, yeah, it's good to get something else in there. So, you know, the Cardinals did not score a single run in a 3-game sweep of the Pirates over the last few days, so it's good to talk about something else. Although, City SC, they also did not score a goal in their last matchup against Houston when they lost that one by a 1-0 score. What are you seeing from this team right now? Because in some ways, after the coaching change, it looks better, and in some ways, it's still very, very much a struggle.
Yeah, that's very. It's interesting because earlier in the season they just couldn't score goals, and then there was like a flurry of goals, and then they were giving up goals. So I guess the good sign is that you know that this season with this group they can defend well, and the harder part is to score goals. Now if they can blend it all together, they might have something. The problem is they need wins, and they're going to need a winning streak to get back into playoff contention. So I spoke to Coach Critchley today, and he seems pretty confident. He's upbeat about the team, and you know, you got to give him some time to, because I think it's you know, a lot of times when interim coaches come in, they will, you know, they will instill the former coach's style. But I think they're really making a pretty significant pivot here with how they want to play, and that's going to take some time. So I think you've seen some good signs. Some guys are starting to make a progress. They have a huge injury crisis, which, you know, I don't think anybody would wish any team to get this bad. They had like 6 center backs, and I think they're down to 1. So they got to be pretty creative, and I think that would explain why there's been some defensive issues. But, you know, it's time against a team that's right in front of you to get some points. So this is, you know, a lot of time, you know, I'm calling a game between teams in 13th and 14th place, and You feel like, all right, well, this is not the ideal matchup, but I feel this is really good. Both coaches, both teams feel confident about the direction they can head to. Both feel they have the personnel to do it, and they have a summer market coming up where they can get some help if they look like a playoff team. But I think there's only room for one of these two teams to get a result. So it feels like a lot of stakes for two teams that feel like they should or are planning on being higher in the standings than they are now.
David Critchley was a somewhat unknown from the national, international soccer community coming into this role. He'd done a really nice job here in St. Louis, working with the academy and some other things here even before that. As you got to know him a little bit in your conversation, what struck you about him?
He's really into what St. Louis is all about. You know, how they love this sport, how they build. How they want to build this team, an entertaining brand, a team that has a spirit about them that works hard, you know, that can sort of mirror how, you know, St. Louis views itself as the city. I'm not from there, but you know, every time I watch this team and I hear the folks talk about this city, you're drawn into it, and it just hasn't clicked into place. But he's all in. So he's an English coach, but he is aligned with what St. Louis and what Lutz and what everyone else wants to do with this team. I was really actually taken back about how, you know, I think sometimes you have an interim coach. His intentions are to be the full-time coach. I mean, he was telling us that he came in that front door when he first arrived at St. Louis to one day be the first team coach. He's got this opportunity. Now you got to have to seize it. He needs some cooperation with the team, but I didn't hear him say like, yeah, we need this, we need that. I mean, he feels that he is pretty well equipped, and I think he has a lot of confidence in this group. He just needs these guys. He needs to get healthy, and needs to more than a few guys to step up. And it sounded like he feels like he's pretty close. You know, this is a pretty seismic shift that you had to do with the coaching staff. But he, I was impressed about how he is approaching this. It's a big deal for him, obviously. You got to keep that in consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting point that you make as we're talking with Max Brados from Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. The idea that, in large part, they made a coaching change because it wasn't just the results, it was the aesthetics of the way they were playing. And you made the point that, you know, they're trying to really change the system and change the way it looks. How challenging is that to have gone through everything that they've gone through, and here they're trying to, as quickly as possible, while dealing with all these injuries, so they're not even fully healthy, they're trying to truly change the way this team plays. That's not easy to do.
It's not easy. You need a real buy-in. And to be honest, if they were healthy, I think they'd have, they would see some progress. I'm not saying they won't, but the health certainly would make a big difference. And I think with St. Louis, you also got to keep, you know, they went through this last year with a coach and an interim taking over. And it's just it's a habit that they need to break out of. They would love to have a guy with tenure. So they got to get it right. You know, I mean, when I heard when they're making a big push to bring in this big international coach with a great coaching playing pedigree at the very least, I got very excited, and you were like hoping this would work out. It just wasn't a good match, and I think you got to give credit for St. Louis. You know, a lot of people would say that there's no pressure in MLS because there's no promotion relegation, so coaches can kind of drift from one season to the next. Well, that's not the case. If you don't deliver, I think there was like 11 coaching vacancies at the beginning of the season. Changes are going to be made. There's a lot of pressure in St. Louis to get results because of the buy-in that this city had. I've called some games from Energizer Park, and it's incredible. But they've come out when the team's not done well. Last year, at the end of last year, and certainly this season, the fans are. It's going to be harder to lean into them when the results and the entertainment value is not there. So it is very difficult for them to do it. And I think St. Louis are learning some lessons. But they have a lot of good stuff. I think they built a really good foundation. They're going to have to lean into that. But to your point as well, they got to figure out what they want to do, how they want to play, and what's the approach, and stick with it. This was a mistake. This didn't go well. That happens in sports. But, you know, I think now St. Louis has to find the right coach, and they really have to stick to an identity, and at least for a couple seasons, and see where that takes them.
Does it feel like right now that the lineup decisions are almost dictating whether it's going to be an offensive or a defensive night for City, that they're so limited right now that it's going to be hard to put together a grouping where they're going to get both of those on any given night?
That's a great observation. I think that Orlando game, you saw it, where the defense just was just not organized. And, you know, they found themselves in a deep hole, and give them credit, they certainly battled back. But, you know, you pay a heavy price for not being defensively set. You know, most teams have to have that. That's the building block of this sport. You know, you can survive. Most coaches will tell you that. If I can get this team defensively, hopefully the goals come around. But if you do it in reverse and you have a defense that will surrender a certain amount of goals, then you're in big trouble. So I think both of those sides, they're having issues blending and independently having a consistent output from their offense and their defense. I think with that said, they have some offense. They have João Klaus, who's a lockdown guy. As the players they have now, I mean, there's like four or five options for those other two or three spots up front. I mean, Hartl has been a great – he's had a great season. He's just had to fill in a lot of gaps. But I think the pressure now is defensively. St. Louis has got to do what they did really well at the beginning of the year and just keep sheets clean, keep scoring low, because that's going to keep them in games. If they if they score goals, but they're giving up goals, the season's not going to end well. So I think if you get the defensive side first down pat, then you can worry about the offense. But they have some, you know, they have some good pieces up there. They've been inconsistent, and some guys have underperformed. But on paper, talent-wise, they have what you need to be in the playoffs.
Felt like last year at the transfer window, some of the decisions that they were made were more for this year, not last year, even though they did play better after the transfer window. And you talked about this earlier. You've kind of already answered this. But this specific matchup here, two teams that are trying to build forward, is this as important of a matchup as there is in terms of them coming up on transfer window and making some decisions on if some of the moves and acquisitions they could possibly make are going to be more focused on what they're trying to do this year as opposed to just looking to already to the next season?
I think these next 3 weeks or next, you know, the transfer window will open up at the end of the month, the 24th, I believe. So I think these next two or three games, and there's a couple midweek rounds coming up. So let's say the next four or five games will be very telling of what they want to do. That said, this market, they've been in discussions. They have their eye on, and I'm sure some players, and they're going to, you know, this is the end of the MLS has its own season, so this is the end of the European season, which is generally where St. Louis has been looking for talent. So you're going to get guys either out of contract or where you can deal with a reasonable transfer move from one of these European clubs. So I think either way, St. Louis will do their business here, but with the eye on a specific guy, say it's a goal scorer, say it's a really pacey winger that can give him some more dynamism.
I think if they get some good results here in the next few weeks, maybe they go for somebody who can hit the ground running. If that's a decision between two or three players, but if they lose two or three games here and they're 12, 13 points off that back, then they got to be realistic and focus on the League's Cup and start focusing probably on 2026. But yeah, I think most people, a lot of people on the inside the Beltway in MLS feel that St. Louis can get there. But if they have a tough assignment right out of the jump here against the Salt Lake team that's just really good at home. Granted, they're shorthanded, missing their best player who was incredible in St. Louis for the U.S. national team, Diego Luna. But that they're in a similar position. They need points and they have the benefit of playing home. So it's going to be a tall mountain to climb for St. Louis City.
Luna putting on a show here in St. Louis yesterday. So that was certainly fun to see from a soccer standpoint. Max Brados, along with Warren Barton.
Seeing it from afar was amazing. Seeing that on TV, St. Louis, well done. And to see the Guatemalan support there as well, it was a great day for American soccer and for CONCACAF.
Yeah, absolutely. I think St. Louis showed off well on a national standpoint, as we all know here in St. Louis they will, but it was certainly good to see, to your point as well. Max Brados along with Warren Barton on the call this week. Before we let you go, please, I always like to give you guys an opportunity to give a plug for everything that is MLS Season Pass on Apple TV as you guys continue to lead the way in soccer coverage here in the United States.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. If you would like to sign up, and I highly encourage you to do. We have the market coming up, and teams are going to be, you know, jockeying for position. You can get it for 50% off. So go to Apple TV and sign up. Check it out. See what you like, and enjoy the coverage. It's all these games at your fingertips. You can see all of St. Louis City. You can see what the other clubs are doing, and. I certainly have Lionel Messi as well. So a lot of meat on the MLS bone these days. I love it. I'm sure you would do, especially in such a soccer-savvy city like St. Louis.
Max, really appreciate the time. Happy 4th of July, and look forward to catching up again down the line.
Happy 4th, and go Cards!
Very good. I like it. That's Max Brados. And speaking of that, the Cardinals, of course, they're going to be right here on KMOX. They always are. But tomorrow is one of those Apple TV games as well. So you can get, if you do like the free trial for Apple, you could get Cardinals and City SC over the course of, probably like 35 hours or so. Cardinals will play in the middle of the afternoon tomorrow. And then you've got City SC playing on Saturday. But we appreciate Max Brados taking some time. You can listen to Cardinals here. You can listen to City SC over on our sister station, Y98. So we certainly have you covered, whether it's Cardinals or City. We've got you covered for sure. We'll take one more break here in the hour and come back. We're going to be joined by Benji Molina next hour. We're also going to hear from Blues President of Hockey Operations, General Manager Doug Armstrong. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Hour number two, Benji Molina is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on how the Cardinals are doing right now and what he thought about the fact that they could not score a run in Pittsburgh. And then Doug Armstrong, he spoke with the media earlier today, Blues President of Hockey Operations and General Manager. We'll play some of those comments for you coming up at about 7:35. There's a bit of a gambling controversy in the sport of baseball, and in a roundabout way, it actually involves the St. Louis Cardinals. Cleveland Guardians right-hander Luis Ortiz is officially under investigation by Major League Baseball. Jeff Passan from ESPN writes, the investigation begins after a betting integrity firm flagged a pair of pitches that had received unusual gambling activity. The two pitches were in a game against Seattle on June 15th, and then also in a game on June 27th against the Cardinals. In the bottom of the second inning against the Mariners, and then the top of the third inning against the Cardinals, Ortiz threw a first pitch slider that was well outside the strike zone. Now, generally, that would be no big deal. However, they're evidently, and you can, depending on what sports book you're at, you can actually bet on individual pitches. And there was a high activity of bets on those pitches at multiple sports books across the country. Ohio, New York, and New Jersey. There were bets that were flagged because of just more activity than you would normally get on something like that. Not a whole lot of people are going out and betting on individual pitches in Major League Baseball. If you're betting on individual pitches, it might be a moment to look inward and say, what am I really doing here? There's a time and place to bet on sports, but betting on an individual pitch, when you look at the videos of these pitches, they are not even close. So the allegation would be that he got set up by bettors to throw balls in those exact situations, and he threw them borderline wild to make sure that they could not be called for strikes and also could not be swung at, because if then something's, if a hitter makes contact with it and it goes foul, well, that's strike, and then it's not a first pitch ball. So a couple things on this. First off, stuff like this is going to keep happening. And again, I'm not trying to say he's guilty for sure of it. Again, he has been placed on leave. The paid leave is going to end at the conclusion of the All-Star break. That was negotiated between Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association. If the investigation does remain open, the leave could be extended. He was actually supposed to start tonight's game against the Cubs. That is not happening, as he is not currently an active player in Major League Baseball. I'm not a sports gambler. Not really my thing. In my entire life, I don't know, when in Vegas, I've placed maybe two or three bets in my entire life, and it's probably been 10 or more years since I've done that. I always say there's a reason they can build really big buildings in Las Vegas, and it's not because they're losing bets, right? So unless you are doing it basically as a profession or really good at it and spending a ton of time on it, which is never something that I would invest my time in, it's not my thing. I was pro sports gambling in Missouri when that was up. It's happening anyway, so you might as well create some tax revenue out of it. That was always my take on it, but it's not really my thing. But Kyle, I think we are seeing that as sports gambling becomes more and more prevalent throughout the country, and more states are making it legal, we're going to see people try to take advantage of ball players and other individuals to do something. I'm sure if this is true, I'm sure Luis Ortiz thought to himself, hey, I can make a few bucks and there is zero cost to this. I'm throwing a ball. I throw half balls anyways when I'm out pitching. And I'm not trying to make it sound like it's okay what he did. It's not, but I can certainly see from his perspective how he can see it as a victimless crime, for lack of a better term.
I agree. I can see how this would be more popular when betting becomes, as prevalent as it is today. And I can also see, like you said, Ortiz saying, well, I can make a few extra dollars doing this. And it's insane to me that can be caught. You track the amount of bets on pretty much anything, I guess they can, and that proves it. But it's wild to me that people are betting on individual pitches, like you said. That's just so crazy to me.
And we would be naive to think that this is not happening. You don't think that there's a guy out there in Major League Baseball who's got a buddy who needs a few bucks and says, hey, I'll throw a ball for the first pitch of the fourth inning. Go put a few dollars. That's happened. There's no way that hasn't happened. The only reason this gets flagged is because there's unusual activity on a single pitch in three different states for the same guy for two different pitches. That's why it gets flagged. I think we'd be naive and think that this is not happening probably more often than we'd want to admit.
Agreed. And the one against the Cardinals, the one against the Mariners missed by, a little bit. The one against us was spiked in the dirt. It wasn't even close.
Not close. Maybe he did it the first time. Well, that was a little too close. If I do this one thing again, I got to make sure that there is absolutely no chance the hitter is going to be able to make contact. So, look, this is part of the cost of sports gambling in the country. And the casinos and the sports books are really good at catching stuff like this, and they work really well with Major League Baseball, with the National Football League, with the NBA, with the NHL. But this stuff is going to continue to happen. I don't know if he's guilty or not, or if it's just a coincidence. We'll have to wait and see. But there is certainly a chance that Luis Ortiz has thrown his final pitch ever across Major League Baseball. We'll take a break, come back with more in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Gray.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is a strike zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Benji Molina is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. We will talk with him. We will do a little bit of hockey, though, here in the strike zone hour, because we're going to play some of the comments made by Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager. We will hear from him coming up in just a little while. Near the bottom of the hour is when we will talk with him. Not talk with him, but listen to, again, those comments that he made earlier today for sure. Continuing to talk Cardinals baseball, though, and you know, we were discussing earlier on the show the situation the Cardinals are in right now with both Eric Fetty and Miles Michaelis, and with Fetty having given up 7 runs of each of his last 2 starts, it feels like his next start to me is just a pivotal start where if it goes as poorly, there might be some decisions to be made. I don't think they're quite at that point with Miles Michaelis, even though his last start was not very good. He's had some more good starts in between. But it also presents the question, at what point is it about, is the guy, the players on the current roster being more important than like surviving the 162 game season? And look, there's going to be, you know, I was about to use the word Tommy Tough guys. That's probably the wrong word to use. There's going to be people out there, might be you listening right now, that you are going to discount the fact that a baseball season is 162 games and a baseball team has to develop players and do all this thing. There's going to be people out there that they just think that at any given moment, you have to have the best players available on the major league roster. And the idea that you would ever not have that for whatever reason is just crazy. And I get that. I understand where you're coming from. But one of the reasons I love baseball so much is because you have to build teams to be able to win on an everyday basis, but you have to build teams to win on an every month basis as well. And that's where it's been complicated when it comes to the Cardinals starting pitching situation. We can all agree that Michael McGreevy gives you a better chance to win than some of the current pitchers who are in the rotation. I think most people feel that way about McGreevy, plus the whole idea of it being a year where young players are going to get an opportunity. A certain group of fans have very much taken the opportunity that anytime McGreevy gets sent back to AAA after making a major league start, just to say, hey, where's the runway for McGreevy? It can't be a runway season if you keep throwing him back to AAA. And we don't need to relitigate this whole thing. We've talked a lot about why the situation is what it is, just with the lack of starting pitching depth, and you need to have as much of that pitching depth survive because, again, if you make the decision that Miles Michaelis and Eric Fetty are no longer going to be on this roster, that they just don't give you a good enough chance to win baseball games, and you're going to bring up Michael McGreevy, and he's going to be there, and maybe you're going to take Steven Matz out of the bullpen, and he's going to be there, and then all of a sudden, you have an injury, you have two injuries, you might be done for the year. So creating depth, having starting pitching depth, even because you're in a situation where, you know, there's a bunch of guys that you can't send down to the minors. McGreevy, you have options on. So it's not fair to McGreevy, but in terms of the Cardinals being best positioned to win starting in game number one and going through game 162, having McGreevy as available at depth at AAA, because you really can't move other guys down there the way you would like in a perfect world, like that, it's a fair thing. And I get it. Like there's people yelling at their radio right now as I say this, saying that I'm making excuses and doing this and doing that. And I would remind you that it is a challenge in Major League Baseball to create a system that can provide you players for 162 games. And that's why the Cardinals have done what they've done this year with McGreevy. They don't have a lot of starting pitching depth, but that is how you preserve any starting pitching depth that you happen to have. So, again, we've talked a lot about that. I don't need to talk any more about that. But I do think it's valid to ask the question, at what point in time does that change a little bit? I got a text message. I think this is Teresa who sent in, regular texter in the program. Says, Ollie needs to know where Fetty and Michaelis are heading before it gets too late in the season. Possibly a strategy is best with transparency sooner than later with a team contender like the Cubs. Says, I can only wish both pitchers the very best. At some point in time, preserving pitching depth for a 162-game season is not as important because you are deep enough in the season when you're in the first month of the year, you want to protect against injuries. When you're in the final 2 months of the year, then it changes a little bit where that your first goal probably isn't preserving pitching depth. The first goal is going to be doing what you need to do to win, to have the best possible roster. So it shifts, and both things do result in wins. Like this is not choosing winning over not winning. Creating a system where you can survive the 162 games absolutely does give you an opportunity to win more baseball games. And you have to worry about that. You have to be very cognizant of it. But at some point, Michael McGreevy's got to be in the big leagues this year, and he's got to be in every fifth or every six-day starter, whether the Cardinals are going with a five-man rotation or a six-man rotation. At some point, he's got to be here. And if that means making some tough decisions around the trade deadline, Kevin Wheeler and I talked about this a lot during the Redbird Rush Hour today. There are redundancies on this roster, and at the trade deadline, there might be an opportunity to clear out some of those redundancies, and it's going to be key to be able to do that if you have the opportunity to do so. And I've talked about that more from a position player standpoint, because when you look at the 2026 Cardinals, there is not room on the roster for Nolan Arenado, Nolan Gorman, Thomas Tuivasa, J.J. Weatherholt, and Brendan Donovan. All those guys cannot be on the roster. All those guys are major league players, so there's got to be a decision there. If there's a team out there that looks at what Eric Fetty did last year and gives you something for him that you feel pretty good about, or you can package Fetty along with one of those guys that I just mentioned, and you can take something that is a little bit redundant on your current roster and upgrade by moving on from those two guys, do it. And then you have Michael McGreevy ready. And is there a gamble that goes along with it because you can still have that exact same injury situation that I mentioned earlier? Yeah, that is a gamble that goes along with it. But like I said earlier, at some point in time, you've got to be ready to kind of make that switch. And generally, that switch happens around the trade deadline. And you know, guys are going to continue to develop as well. And there's been some bright spots in terms of players who have maybe put themselves on the radar. And we've talked a lot about Quinn Matthews. In fact, let's get to Building the Future. It is brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis and is a great place to work. Watching Matthews and seeing if he can start to kind of control AAA a little bit more. And his last three starts have been interesting. Three starts ago, he went five innings, gave up just one hit, no runs, six strikeouts, two walks. He was the league pitcher of the week. The next week, he matched up against Durham, and he made it only through four outs, giving up five runs on two hits with six walks. But then he followed that up with another start against Durham. Only went 4 2/3 innings, but did not give up a run, gave up four hits. The overall numbers in June for him at AAA, 3.32 ERA, 22 strikeouts in 19 innings. So I think there's a good chance that we could see Matthews in the big leagues at some point this year still. But it doesn't feel like he is in complete command of AAA quite yet. And that, again, Matthews is another player in this whole thing, because if you either find a trade for a Fetty or a Michaelis, probably more so for a Fetty than a Michaelis, but if you make the decision to move on from one of those guys and you know Michael McGreevy's going to be here, if you feel more confident that Quinn Matthews is ready to take that step up if you need him, that can make that a little bit easier. The Real Third Man sends in a message, says Detroit's opener strategy after trade deadline helped them get into playoffs. Not that I endorse that particular strategy for the Cardinals. We've talked about that a fair amount on this show. Talked about it on the Gas House Gang earlier this week. I think there is something to be said for maybe using an opener with Michaelis or Fetty to help them get through the order the third time, but only face the top of the order twice. There could be some value in that. It's also a gamble if things go poorly with that relief pitcher going through the first inning or two. We'll talk with Benji Molina in just a second or so. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We'll hear a little bit from Doug Armstrong coming up later on the program. The Blues president of hockey operations and general manager met with the media today, going through some of the moves that have been made over the last few days. But right now, we are very happy to talk to one of our favorite people in the world, played parts of 13 seasons in the big leagues. He is now the Spanish language analyst on Cardinals Radio, in Spanish, obviously. He is Benji Molina. Benji, always appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
Oh, heck yeah, Matt. Anytime. I told you, man, anytime I can pinch it, you know, I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I'm excited that we got a really good series coming up in the Cups. We had a really bad one with Pittsburgh, but this is a good time for them to actually pick up some games, right? To pick up some games back. So I'm excited, man.
What were you seeing from Cardinals bats during that Pittsburgh series where they were unable to score a run?
You know what? It's really hard to tell because it could be, It could be either they were pitched really good, you know, because Mitch Keller is not having a good season, and he shut us down. You know what I'm saying? It could be just the pitching for them that was doing great, but it could be just something that the guys are trying to do too much. When I played in back in the days, and we didn't score for a couple of days, he got in our heads. We wanted to be the guy. We wanted to be the guy who has two RBIs and help break that scoreless, you know, and things like that. So it's probably pressuring a little bit. We'll see what happens now with the day off and now heading to Chicago, which ended up really, really, really in a fight mode here in St. Louis. So I can't wait to see these three games.
It's so much more fun when the Cardinals and Cubs don't like each other. And, you know, even the end of that series, the situation with Wilson Contreras, I mean, just it feels good for the game of baseball when it feels like the Cardinals and Cubs legitimately do not like each other.
I know. It's so good with the rivalry. That things that happen, it's just baseball. You threw at the guy, you almost hit him in the face, you ended up hitting him in the hand. Luckily, we didn't have any issue with him with that. But then you have a guy throwing 100 and hit you. So Contreras took it upon himself, look at him and say, hey, man, what's going on? Things like that. So, and then he got to first when the guy got the Palacios, I think. He got the last out Palencia or something like that, a pitcher at the end. And he goes and got the third out. He looked at him and said some things to Contreras. So, but like you said, Matt, you know, this is good for baseball. I mean, this is generation tras generation. They don't like each other. That's just how it is. Even we have nice guys, let me tell you. We have very nice guys on our team. And for them to be able and for them to come up and try to protect Wilson at that time, it was so good to see. So I cannot wait.
Wilson has been hit by pitches a lot in his career. This is not something that's new this year. When he was a Cub, he would always take issue with it. Like it was, this is nothing new. If you have watched Wilson Contreras play baseball through his entire career, he's always been somebody who's been hit by pitches a lot, and he's always been someone who has somewhat taken issue with it. How much is it about the way he's set up in the box is resulting in this? Like, should he change anything? Like, what is your takeaway on the fact that Contreras has always been hit as much as he is?
Let me tell you, as your teammate, as your player, as a manager, you don't want him to change. You want the pitcher to be able to change, but they don't change. These days, Matt, they don't control the ball inside. A lot of pitchers are afraid to throw inside. Wilson stands right on the plate for that reason. They don't control that ball, so they're going to go middle away, and they're going to make a lot of mistakes, and he's going to take advantage of it. The only thing that I can see that it could help him is us taking care of that. Us meaning the pitching, right? Us, okay, you hit one of our guys, and I'm not saying go out and try to hurt anybody because that's not baseball. But you know, if you hit my guy, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit one of your guys or things like that. He's got away from baseball. That way you take care of your own players, right? This is on the field. But Wilson, you don't want him to change. These guys are beasts. And yes, he get hit a lot. Yes, because he stands right in the plate when the guy is throwing 100, 95 to 100 miles an hour. He wants to challenge the guy. He ain't afraid of getting hit. So I love that part, but you don't want your guys to change anything. You want actually the pitcher to feel uncomfortable and change instead of your batter. But we can take care of it. You know, okay, you threw at my guy, even if he wasn't on purpose, but here's one of your guys. All right, now we're even. Let's go. Let's go play ball.
And self-governance is a really, really good thing when it works. Sometimes it doesn't always work. Would you be in favor of Major League Baseball implementing some sort of rule, say, every time a pitcher hits a guy, you know, for a fifth time or something, that there's an automatic one-game suspension, or is that maybe going too far?
Well, I don't know about that, man. I'm an old school. I think you know me by now, Matt. I think I'm an old school guy, and we are away from pitching inside anyway. The baseball game has always, not always, like lately, has been only middle away, kind of a zone, throw hard, middle away, throw strikes, make him miss it. But the inside pitch art has gone away. I'm not talking about the Cardinals. I'm talking about MLB has gone away, man. Nobody throws inside anymore. They give you a warning if you throw. So it's hard to tell, but if that pitch comes back in the game, it's going to be harder for hitters to hit. And it's just bottom line because you have to be aware of the inside pitch and things like that. So, but it's going away. I don't like the fact that they're going to say, okay, you hit me five times, you got a game suspension, because many times you might not even want to hit the guy. It's just you don't have the control to get the corner, so you go for the middle, the ball runs out, you're a little behind in your arm, and you end up hitting a guy. So I'm not into that ruling thing.
There's such a focus on velocity right now for pitchers. Does that have something to do with pitchers not being able to control the inside of the plate, that there's been so much more focus on velocity than control?
Yes, yes, a lot of it. And I'm not talking about every single one of them. Of course, we have the guys that control the inside, the outside. They control the top of the zone. And whenever they want to bounce one, they bounce it. We have guys like that. But the majority of the guys right now are trying to throw so hard that they forget to hit the corners. They forget that the batter, if you hit the outside corner, he's out. If you hit the inside corner with movement, he's out. But you forget that because you want to throw 100, you want to throw 98 miles an hour. And the Nationals said something in spring training or put a sign up. I don't care how hard you throw your ball for. You know what I'm saying? So these guys are trying to throw so hard, Matt, and it's ending up in the middle of the plate, you know? And if they make the corner, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. But for high percentage, it's going to be right down the middle because they need to throw a strike at some point. So, man, I love my 91, my 92, my 93 guys that get people out. Phil Maton, how is he doing it with 91, with 89? With 92, he's pitching, man. He's pitching. He has two curveballs. He has two sliders, one fast, one slower than the other one. He's getting you off balance. He's striking you out with pitches, moving. And that's what he's doing. I love those guys like that. I mean, if you find a guy, Matt, that throws 100 and he hits the corners, give it to me. I get it. It's great. But I'm down with the guys who can't go out there and get three people out on a consistent basis.
We are talking with Benji Molina. You hear him on Cardinals Spanish radio, and we love being able to talk through that. I'll put you on the spot a little bit here, and I'm hoping that you don't have an answer for this one, but there was the story today with the Cleveland pitcher, Luis Ortiz, who's now under investigation for possibly throwing pitches as balls on purpose for gambling reasons. Was there ever a moment in your career, don't need names, don't need anything, where maybe a pitcher did something and something popped up in the back of your mind wondering if that guy had something else going on?
Oh my goodness, I didn't even know that. I gotta go check it out. Sometimes I never thought that they were gambling at all, you know, not my teammates or anybody at that point. I never thought that anybody would do that, right? But now that you mention it, man, you go back in some games and you're like, wait, why do you want to throw that pitch again? He knew that's not the pitch. He knew that's not the right pitch to throw in this moment. He knew that, you know what I'm saying? And then your head starts spinning like, holy crap, what's going on here? But I never had that. I never played. I played for 20 professional seasons and never had any thought, Matt, like one thought about somebody giving away a game or throwing a pitch because of the gambling and all that stuff. I never had that thought in my head, to tell you the truth and being honest.
That's good. That's the answer I was hoping for, Benji. I'm glad that you said that for sure. We really appreciate you taking some time with us today. Have a wonderful 4th of July, and we'll see you at the ballpark when the team is back in town.
Yeah, happy 4th to everyone. I hope you have fun with your family, man, and everybody be safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Awesome. Great stuff. That's Benji Molina. He's one of my favorite people out there to be able to talk with. And I'm glad that was his answer right there. I'm very glad because, look, as a catcher, if if all of a sudden a pitcher is doing something that they're just not used to doing or not new, I think as a catcher, you know if a pitcher misses on purpose, like in a really bad way, versus if they're just a little bit out of control or something like that. I don't want those things going on in baseball. And again, I think with today's era of sports gambling becoming more and more prevalent, that's why some of this stuff's going to be going on. But point shaving and things like that, it's always been going on. And whether it was an NBA official like Tim Donaghy, or whether it was the controvert, was it Arizona or Arizona State all those years ago? I think it was Arizona State. I mean, it's just these things have happened. Last year, Major League Baseball suspended a handful of players for gambling-related things. One individual was suspended for life, even from an umpire standpoint. Pat Hoberg. Pat Hoberg was the best ball strike umpire in all of Major League Baseball. And it wasn't even close. It was Pat Hoberg, the Grand Canyon, and then whoever was second. Hoberg was the best ball strike umpire, and he had shared login credentials on a sports gambling site with somebody. They never even proved that he was gambling on anything. I tend to believe that he wasn't. He just made the incredibly stupid decision to share credentials with somebody, and he's out of baseball. He got fired, and that firing was upheld. You know, everybody knows that's the rule that's posted in the clubhouse. Like, you can't mess around with this. And even when it seems innocent, like, I think if this Ortiz thing turns out to be true, it seems completely innocent in the moment. You throw one ball and you can make a few bucks, or you can make a buddy a few bucks or something like that. It seems innocent in the moment. It is anything but innocent. And it's something with baseball that, and other sports, it's something with baseball where I certainly appreciate how hard that they work to keep it away. Sometimes I am open to conspiracy theories, you know, like the Tim Donaghy thing in the NBA. There was a documentary about that. I think it was a Netflix documentary, and a lot of people think that went a little bit deeper than just him, and he ended up being the fall guy for it. Like, I'm open to that conspiracy theory. I don't know if that's true or not. I just know the world that we live in, and anytime people can find a way to make a dollar, they absolutely do that. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk some hockey, because Doug Armstrong has had a busy few days. Blues president of hockey operations and general manager, he spoke with the media earlier today. A lot from Doug Armstrong coming up in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, into the final half hour or so of the program, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Just a programming reminder for tomorrow. It's 4th of July. We'll have Cardinals baseball during the afternoon hours. We'll probably get an hour or so of Redbird Rush Hour in at 5 o'clock, depending on how long the Cardinals game goes. At 6 o'clock, we'll get a best of hour of Sports Open Line. I've had a bunch of really good interviews here lately, so we're going to re-rack some of those, and then special 4th of July program will begin at 7 o'clock coming up tomorrow evening. The St. Louis Blues have been quite active here over the last few days in both free agency and development camp going on, coming off the NHL draft. And their president of hockey operations and general manager, Doug Armstrong, did meet with the media today. Wanted to play back for you some of what he had to say, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. Let's start with, you know, probably the biggest piece of news over the last few days is they signed Pius Suter. Suter is someone who comes in. He probably pencils in as the number two centerman. And Armstrong was asked about what they liked about Suter.
Just his versatility. I think, you know, he had obviously a very good offensive year, his best goal scoring year. But we think that he can come in here and provide us depth at the center ice position. He and Bukestad certainly change our center ice complexion. have five natural centers now with Shen there and Sonny. So there's going to be some options, and it's always easier to move a centerman over to the wing than a wing to center. So we like our depth there, and we think he can either play with Holloway and Kyra if that's what the coach wants to do, or he can. He's very versatile, and it's going to give us some options coach some options during training camp.
Was he somebody you've been looking at for a while, or did it develop pretty quickly here?
He was on our list of centermen to discuss, and then when the market hit, we really connected hard on the night of the first. Then we had we did our due diligence with him. He did with us. We had a conversation on the second with the coach and the player and myself, talking about the city, talking about his role, and he felt very comfortable. And I think it's a great opportunity for him. He's still young. It's a two-year deal. If we want to start the season with Krug on our roster and not go into summer LTI, it was only X amount of dollars that we had. We can accomplish that now. And we're excited that, with the caveat, it only takes one phone call, but I would say our roster's pretty well set now.
Interesting little comment there right at the end where Army says that the roster is in all likelihood set. We'll come back to that coming up later on because he says more about that. So let's stick with the conversation about Suter here for the moment. Last year with Vancouver, he had a career year where he ended up scoring 25 goals and having 21 assists, so 46 points last year. To put that in perspective, his previous high was a 36-point season with Detroit back in 21-22, and so he put together a very, very good season this past year. And Armstrong was asked about what really led to that big step forward.
I think opportunity. We talked to, as I said, I don't want to say who we talked to, but our guys are well connected around the league. That's the fortunate part of having so many ex-players there. They have contacts, and I think he was asked to do a bigger role in Vancouver this year, and he took that responsibility, and his shooting percentage was high too. It was 18%. But we didn't look at that as the sole reason as a goal scorer to bring him in. It's just his 200-foot game. He's going to give us options, and our penalty killing hasn't been where it needs to be, and he's another certainly strong option now to lead that group.
Talk about his shooting percentage, and it seems like a lot of that has to do with in and around the net, something I'm sure that an organization you're going
to
like.
We would love to start, good teams win battles in front of their net and the opposition's net. That's where the grime is worked out, and he's willing to go there. And, on the back end, bringing in Mayu, we're a little bit thicker and bigger back there too. And, we're just trying to get as accomplished as we can in the harder areas of the ice.
Now, the Blues were kind of in this stopgap situation. Eventually, Dalibor Dvorsky is going to move in, and he's going to be a center on this team, and he's going to be, a top three line type center. But he's probably not quite ready for that spot as he continues to move forward. And there's some other young players in the organization that will play at the NHL level this season. It's going to be a really interesting training camp with some guys competing for jobs. And for Armstrong, this Suter signing and everything else that's going on, he really feels like as young players start to emerge, this is going to be a really good situation.
I think it's going to be great for a player like Dvorsky. He can come in now as if he's having trouble in the middle of the ice. He can start on our team as a wing. We don't have to force feed him into an area. And then over time, he'll take over one of those jobs. And, there's going to be great competition. He certainly has the opportunity to come in and make our team. When I say our team is set, you look at our roster now, the number of players that we have are 23 players. But what's sort of lost on it is if Stenberg or Stansel or Pekarek or Dean or Dvorsky obviously have talked about come in, it's actually a savings for us if we put them on our team and send someone to the minors because we get around $1.1 million in relief. So, It's not the owner likes having those guys in the minors. That's one thing, but from a team perspective, there's going to be great competition, and what we don't have to do is rush those players. When I look at this from 30,000 feet, this is the year of the young defenseman. Young meaning not experienced defensemen in on the Blues right now. You have Tucker is going to get an opportunity to be a full-time player. Mayhew is going to get an opportunity to be a full-time player. Kessel's in that group. Broberg just turned 24. And you look at that forward group, they're probably a year away. You know, when you have all those guys, you have Stenberg, Stancil, Pekarek, Dvorsky really at 20, all turning pro. You know, we're going to let them have the opportunity to get their foundation footing under them. Now, if they come in and take a job, great. But I would say next year at this time, there's going to be a great opportunity to input a lot of younger forwards. And again, I do believe that getting that foundation is so important for the player and the organization, then force-feeding him into an area where maybe they can't have success. And I think we've protected ourselves from having to do that while allowing them the right to come in and take a job.
Another recent move that the Blues made is they trade away Zach Bolduc, and in exchange they get back from Montreal defenseman in Logan Mayhew. And one of the dominoes that then gets pushed down after all that is Nick Leddy ends up going on waivers. Now, Leddy was not out of work very long. He's already been claimed by the San Jose Sharks, but Armstrong did get asked, you know, why it was Leddy that ends up being placed on waivers.
It became a numbers game. You know, one of the things too is the coach who selects who goes over the boards is a big Tucker fan. He's a big Tucker fan. He thought that that's an element that our team, when he's on the ice, when he's playing, you know, we're harder to play against. And I think as a group, he likes that. So if he was going to take that slot in our six, you know, it made sense to give him that opportunity. Now, there's risk involved with that, obviously. Nick's an experienced player, has had a very good career, will go to San Jose and do very well. But you have to create space if you want to give ice time away, and that was one way to do that.
Armstrong went on to say that they did listen to Leddy on what teams he would maybe like to play for, and they reached out to those teams to see if there was a trade to be worked out. There wasn't one, and then it became very clear that the only path forward was putting him on waivers, and now he is with San Jose. Development camp has been going on. A lot of young players participating. Kind of a weird year for the Blues, where they had a very limited number of draft picks, just three of them, and Armstrong gave his general thoughts on how camp went.
Just because we didn't have a lot of picks this year, our defensemen have a harder time standing out than forwards, and we had a lot of D drafted last year. So I'm excited about where those young D are at. I think Carbonneau's had a very good camp. He getting to know him, he's got a lot of personality in a positive way. Like he draws people to him, and so I've been very happy with the camp. And I think what we get to do is now leave the players with a message of, this is where your body's at. This is things you can work on. This is where your hockey's at. These are things you can work on. For the Europeans, we might not see them again until next year. But for the junior players or the North Americans, we'll see how they implement that into training camp.
You heard Armstrong there mention Justin Carbonneau, who they selected number 19 overall in the NHL draft. And just as he was asked some follow-up questions, he gave some more thoughts on what he saw from Carbonneau during camp.
His directness, even 3-on-3, he plays with a little bit of snarl. You know, he's another player that understands where the goals are scored from, and he goes to that area, and he's got skill. So I don't want to overhype him, but he looks like a player that should have been drafted where he was.
Carbonneau's got a decision to make here moving forward. He could go back to junior hockey. There's also a possibility that he would play college hockey in the United States. He's been connected to BC, BU, so his future a little bit up in the air. And Armstrong went through kind of the choices and the communication they're having with Carbonneau on what he's going to do next.
What we've asked him to do with his representatives, let's get through this week. Like, let's not complicate life. We don't need to. But over the next 10 days, he's going to have to make a decision. College hockey is beneficial in some ways because of the training. You get to get bigger, stronger, more days in the gym, less games. He's a big man, though, now. Junior hockey, to me, has a lot of benefits, too. If you're on a good team, you get 7-game playoff series. You know, in college, it's one and done. We saw that with Snuggie last year. They had aspirations of, you know, the Final Four, and you know, they didn't make it. And so he has it. Like, I don't think he's going to make a wrong decision, we want to go through the pros and cons. But ultimately, what I want those guys to do is make the decision, because they have to live with it. And I've been firm in that belief, is that you want them to be 100% committed to where they are. I want their feet I want their head where their feet is. And so if he says he wants to go to college, we'll support that. If he says he wants back to junior, but when he makes that decision, he has to be 100% in, and that has to be he and his family's decision.
Thought this was really cool. So Robert Bortuzzo was seen around camp, and one of the reporters noticed that and asked whether or not Bortuzzo was going to be joining the organization in some role. And Armstrong went on to explain that one of the things that they do on a daily basis is they bring in different guest speakers to talk to the young players.
Each day we have a speaker talk to the younger players. This year was, I really enjoyed it. Bobby Gassoff Jr. came in, a Navy SEAL, talked to the team about his experiences winning a national championship at Michigan, and then 9/11 hit and his calling changed. He wanted to be a pro hockey player, then he had a bigger calling, and then he shared those stories about what it's like to go through Navy SEAL training and the correlations to being a professional hockey player, like staying focused one day at a time, you know, worry about the controllables, you know, playing and working through pain, you know, what is pain. And I was really impressed by that. And then we had Peter and Paul Stastny come in and talk to the guys. Peter's got a great story, you know, and obviously this generation wouldn't know a lot about Peter. That's just the way life is. But when they hear that story and they go home and Google him, the things that he had to do to get to North America, and then obviously Paul is someone that they would remember as a player. And then we had Bortstock, you know, and then and he, freshly off the ice, could share some stories. And then today we had media training for them. So every day we try and have something here that they can do. And then it's whether it's a go-kart racing one day, we try and fill their days. But that's a long story to what Bortz was doing here, but he's not part of the group yet, but I think he's moving back here. And I would love to get a tie to some of those guys in 19 that won here. I think it's time for that group to take a bigger role in our history.
Really, really cool. That was probably my favorite part of what Armstrong had to say today, just about the different individuals that they bring in, and also the desire that more of those players from the Stanley Cup winning team become official parts of the organization here moving forward. Love to see that happen. So the bottom line is the Blues make a bunch of moves. Nick Leddy is gone. Bolduc is gone. Mayhew comes in. Suter comes in. Bjugstad comes in. Just the roster certainly looks different right now than it looked at the end of the year last year. Some other players have left via free agency. So the big question is the team right now better than what they were at the end of the season last year?
I think we're different. I don't know if we're going to be better. I'm excited about Mayhew. You know, I'm excited about what a full year of Snuggerud. You know, we brought the experienced players in, and Suter and Bjugstad. They all have to come together, you know. And I'm hoping that we're a better team. I'm hoping that the experience of what they went through last year for the returning players is a positive one, and they can build off of that. But one of the things I have experienced over the years is that every team is his own team, and there's really not a lot of hang. Like, if you win a championship, you can drag that into the next year. That's really about all you can drag into it, is if you win. So our guys have to come back, and they have to create their own team. And I think they're excited about that. I think this is that maybe the first year of my career as a manager to have every contract done on July 3rd. Like, you know, of NHL players. We do have a couple of American League players, but it's like you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at our roster and see where it is. And I don't see a lot of changes now. With the caveat, I could go back there and I could be out here in an hour and a half, but I don't see it. I think we're excited about this group, and I hope we're better.
A lot of stuff from Doug Armstrong. Thought that was pretty interesting. And in all likelihood, Torrey Krug's going to end up on long-term injury, LTIR, and that's going to create some money. So if they are in a position next year where they want to add to the roster via trade, and it's going to require them to add to payroll, they are going to be in position to be able to do that. Seems like for the most part, they are done for the roster building this summer, unless something presents itself that's just a can't-miss opportunity. But they are in a pretty good spot in terms of being able to add to the roster after the season gets started if a need does arise. We will take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line, a Strike Zone Hour. Cardinals-Cubs tomorrow. What's on deck is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have, the very best, ChesterfieldFence.com. Miles Michaelis going to pitch for the Cardinals tomorrow. Big start coming for Michaelis. He has been trending in the wrong direction. Huge series, so we'll see what Michaelis can do against the Cubs tomorrow. That's going to be a 1:21st pitch. That means our coverage begins at 12:25. Thanks so much for being tuned in to the show tonight. Have a wonderful 3rd of July as we get into the holiday tomorrow. I'll talk to you for Cardinals pregame tomorrow afternoon right here on your home for the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.